Hey everyone, Tamara here, Inside Launchery Podcast. So today I want to answer your questions. So I get a lot of DMs around why innovation is so sought after, like what's going on that makes it such a hot, essential tool right now. I get questions around why the innovation method, approach, effort that you're putting in or your teams are putting in, why they're not working. And of course, then I get questions around why is it that our everyday innovator method, the approach that we use and then based on the assessment, actually does get results and gets people to drive innovation in themselves and those around them? So I want to answer those three questions today because I think they're all kind of layered together. They're really not mutually exclusive. So first, I want to dive into why innovation is the essential and sought after tool in today's crazy world. And I think in answering that, it's also going to unveil how it's your competitive advantage. Then I want to talk about why the innovation methods you're using, whether that's design thinking, agile, kind of lean. I know lean isn't really an innovation method, but people kind of try to squeeze it in there. Why any of those methods or the other checkmark innovation methods that you're using, why they're not working. I think as I talk about that, it'll be really eye-opening for you. And then I want to share a little bit about how come our everyday innovator method, the method that we use, is based on behavioral psychology, neuroscience, and 25 years of work and research, why that method actually tends to work for people, why they get results, and why it creates lasting, sustainable innovation, why it turns people into everyday innovators. Now, if you're new to this podcast, for all of us, I just want to remind us that our goal over here at Launchery, my personal dream in this world, is to unleash 1 million everyday innovators into the world. And I want you to be a part of that. Just imagine for a second the problems we could solve, the opportunities we'd create, and the satisfaction and joy we would all feel from doing that. I think we could change the world and change the game if we all dialed up our innovation. So all of that is to say, you've got some questions and I've got some answers for you. So let's start with why is it that innovation is this essential and really sought after tool? And what I mean by that is if you're a coach, an entrepreneur, a consultant, or a speaker, people are asking you for innovation more than they ever have. I know people email me all the time like, hey, I've been asked to help my team with innovation. Or I've been asked to help my clients with innovation. What do I do? If you're a leader inside an organization, it's, you know, essential for the bottom line, for the work that you do, for keeping up with change, but it's sought after because you're now being asked to create cultures of innovation, to create everyday innovators in yourself and your team so that you can adapt and change and manage the crazy times that we're in. So that's what I mean by sought after. So let's talk a little bit about why it's the case, why it's so sought after, but also why it's so essential. First off, let's get into the real about the world that we live in. We are in a state of constant change. So we'll be talking about this for years and years to come, but you know, 2020 changed everything and change is just part of our lives. There's no waiting for the dust to settle anymore. It is what it is. And we just have to get used to that. We just have to accept the fact that, hey, part of what I'm going to need to do is pivot and adapt and just manage the change that I'm always facing. It's no longer the world of I do my work, I do my tasks, I get by, and then, oh, change, I have to deal with it. Okay, done. I've managed the change, go back to my work, go back to my tasks. Those days are over. That's why the whole phrase change management doesn't work for me. And I think why most of those efforts and initiatives actually fail, it's because it implies it's a change is a point in time exercise. It is not. There'll be some times of heavy lifting, sometimes of small change, but change is constant. That's the real about the world that we're in. Secondly, I think in this world that we're in, there is this right now anyway, in the time that I record this podcast in the end of June of 2021, there is this constant threat of disruption. I think what happened with the global pandemic, with COVID, shook us all to the core because we didn't expect it. We couldn't have planned for it. We couldn't have thought it up in our wildest imaginations. I mean, I've seen some movies that had like, you know, pandemics that spread across the world and zombies, but we just couldn't imagine this. And then it happened. So now, you know, when I talk to people, what I hear a lot from people is I'm just afraid it's going to happen again. Like we're not quite, we haven't taken the ease in yet. We haven't taken the fear out yet. And we shouldn't, because it could happen again. I think what the last, you know, year and a half really taught us is that disruption, that change can come at any time. And oh, by the way, in ways that we would have never imagined ever. The other thing about the world that we're in, I think, is that we're getting mixed signals. I was just having this conversation with a financial advisor the other day, and he said, you know what, Tamara, it's really confusing for my clients because on one hand, unemployment has got this big number and people are having a hard time finding jobs and people are having a hard time filling jobs, yet the stock market is going up. Yet, you know, we've got this moratorium on people having to pay their rent because they can't, or mortgages. So we're getting all these mixed signals of like good economy, bad economy, like what the heck is going on? I think that makes it very personal, but I think it makes it challenging to deal with, if I'm just being real. So I think all that is coming together. And then on top of that, you know, we've got new to the world opportunities to change. That's a part of the positive side, and also never seen before problems to solve. So, you know, these problems and opportunities happen because with change comes a shift. It comes a change in our problems and a change in opportunities. So we have to expend a lot of new energy to solve those problems and chase those opportunities. And as you can imagine, that takes innovation. And that leads to, you know, evolving customer and client expectations and demands. They're different. They're different than they were 18 months ago. And this is why I think being an everyday innovator, in fact, not even think, I know, is an essential skill. That's the problem solving, the critical thinking, that ability to adapt, that ability to be decisiveness and actually make decisions, not let fear paralyze you. And I'm going to add one more in that may surprise you, and that is being insightful. I think it's really important that if, as everyday innovators, one of the gift of really dialing that up in yourself is this ability to kind of see how things connect and also figure out how to kind of move forward. And I think that takes elevating information from insight to insight. So that's the real world about the world that we're in. So here is why, given all that, innovation is essential and sought after as a skill that your teams and your clients and your customers are demanding. Here's what I think we know now, that paper skills can become irrelevant, but the ability to adapt does not. In fact, it becomes even more essential. That's part of innovation, is that ability to adapt. So paper skills are good. They're great to do your job. But if you want to really thrive moving forward, we got to learn that skill of being able to adapt. That's the part, because those paper skills change. The second reason I think innovation is so essential right now is we can plan, but we cannot predict. I think we all learned that probably the hard way. We can plan and plan, but we can't predict. And what that means is we can be insightful and forward thinking, and then we got to be nimble, and we got to be able to adapt, and we got to be able to find new opportunities, and we got to be able to solve problems in new ways, not the ways we solved them before. That doesn't get us anywhere. If you look at the stats, if you look at all the surveys out there, Indeed.com did one recently. I know Adobe did one. I think there's one from IBM. The top requested skill that employers want in their teams and that clients are asking for from their coaches, consultants, whoever's serving them, is innovation. That ability to innovate, critical thinking, problem solving, that ability to adapt, there's an element of being proactive inside of there. It is the top requested skill for a reason, for all the reasons we're mentioning. Innovation is what differentiates you from the competition, and it makes you and your work ownable and defendable. Let me dig into this one for a minute. This is where I think it gets personal. When you innovate, you think differently. You think differently than your colleagues, than the competition, than the marketplace. Then you take action on that innovation and you stand out and you make your mark. I think in today's cluttered world where personal branding and kind of being different are the only way to rise above the noise, innovation is essential because that is what gets you there. And it also makes your work ownable and defendable. Here's what I mean by that. Ownable. It's unique to you. When I see that, I think of you. When I see this, I think of Bob, right? You're different. But it also makes it defendable. And defendable is important because that means it's hard for other people to keep up. There's this great wine company here in Denver called Infinite Monkey Urban Winery. Ben Parsons started it. And he was the very, very first to put wine in single-serve cans. And he got a lot of shit in the industry, like, well, that's not how you do it. He also, by the way, makes his wine in downtown Denver, not in some like winery or, you know, vineyards out in the middle of nowhere. So he got a lot of flack for that when he started. But guess what? His marketplace loved it. It was different. Everybody who was buying wine single serve thought of Infinite Monkey. It was ownable and it was super defendable. It took forever for the competition to catch up once they realized he was onto something. Innovation, whether that's for you personally, your team, or the clients that you serve, it is what differentiates you from the competition and makes you and your work ownable and defendable. Guess what? I think you know this. It's easier to be successful when you are differentiated, when you are ownable, and when you are defendable. All right, so all those reasons are why innovation is so essential and so sought after. And you probably have a few of your own to layer on there as well. In fact, just hit me up and let me know. I'd love to hear your reasons for it. We are dealing with change, disruption. We are dealing with new problems to solve and new opportunities to seize, which we can't do the way we used to do it. We can't solve the new problems with the old methods. It's why we're not getting traction and why we're getting stuck. So it's essential. It is sought after. I can't say it enough because I believe it so strongly and I see it. And if you think about the people, the brands, the businesses out there that are really thriving, they're leveraging innovation more so than ever before. All right. So now we've talked a little bit about the why. Let's talk about why it is that the processes that you're using aren't working. And then I'm going to share my talk about the Everyday Innovators Method, how you can solve that for yourself and for the people that you serve. But let's talk a little bit about why they aren't working. So whether that's design thinking, agile, I mean, there's a million of them out there, right? Books that you read that give you a process, a checklist, one exercise to do. And don't get me wrong, I'm not against any of those. I think there's a time and a place for all of it. But there's a fundamental reason why those things are not long lasting. There's a reason why. First of all, there's a reason why clients call me and say, hey, I've invested all this money in Agile, but we have no engagement, no buy-in. Things are same old, same old. Like, why aren't they using it? We've brought in this great process. There's also kind of a reason why people call me and say, hey, I'm trying to help my clients, the people that I serve be more innovative. So I'm using design thinking, love it, and nothing's changed. So let me dig into those reasons why all of these methods, processes, initiatives, whatever you want to call them, are failing you. And then I can kind of dive into what's a better approach for you. But I think understanding why they're not working will help you figure out what to do next. All right. So first of all, here's what I find in all those methods or what you're dealing with is the definition of innovation is too narrow, or it's the wild, wild west and totally lacking a definition. So either innovation becomes this new product idea. It becomes this disruptive technology, really about the outcome. But it's so narrow that all the other little opportunities for innovation that make just as big of an impact don't fit into that definition. So you might want to ask yourself if you, the people you serve, your teams, your clients, the definition is so narrow that you're missing major opportunities to innovate. By the way, people and businesses that innovate holistically, meaning across everything they do, they're the ones that win. And a narrow definition doesn't allow you to do that. But the other flip side of that is, like I said, it's like pew, pew, pew. That's what I envision, by the way, the wild, wild west to sound like. It's a wild, wild west, meaning it doesn't lack definition. So you don't know what to do or where to go or who to do it with. And one person is defining it as disruptive innovation. Another person's defining it as a wow factor. Another person's defining it as throwing away everything you've done and starting over. It's everywhere. And unfortunately, that causes confusion and it causes frustration because nobody meets anybody else's expectations. So what you don't want is too narrow, so nothing fits into it. And then you don't want it so wide that nobody even knows what direction they're headed in. They're all off on their own. I'm going to give you a quick bonus, and that's the definition of innovation that we've crafted over here at Launch Street that we use with our clients, that it empowers people, it makes innovation accessible, and it gives you just enough boundary to get everybody on the same page, but enough open space to innovate across everything that you do, big and small. It opens up opportunity for innovation with everything. And that is this: think differently about what's right in front of you to create an advantage. We don't have time in this podcast for me to break it down, but I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about embodying that definition of innovation, thinking differently about what's right in front of you to create an advantage. I promise you it's a game changer for all our clients. It's the foundation of so much of what we do here at LaunchTrade, is redefining innovation in a way that actually gets people to do it and realize their contribution and their value. Okay, so that's the first reason why, right? The innovation definition is too narrow, too broad. The second reason is with innovation efforts is you launch strong and then you abandon hard. Think of it as a rocket. The rocket, all engines go, it's pushing up. You're, you know, fighting against gravity and all the naysayers and change and bureaucracy. And then you get a little traction, but before you hit kind of the smooth sailing, you cut off the engines and it falls back down to earth. Well, innovation's the same way. And what I see with a lot of these methods or initiatives that people do is there's a lot of fanfare on the front end, and then there's nothing on the back end. And that leads to launch and abandon. And innovation's got to be a daily action, a daily priority, a daily mindset, or it doesn't work. And the only real way to make it daily without causing initiative fatigue is to actually have people internalize innovation, have them be everyday innovators. All right, so the next reason your approach might not be working is that innovation is siloed to the select few or special projects. So if you work in a team that or in a company, that innovation may be, you know, the responsibility of the cool select four, but not the other 46 people in the company or on the team, which I've never understood, because think how many people you're leaving out. I mean, all that untapped potential and ideas and innovation, the people who are in the job doing their work. I've never understood that. So let me try that math again, because I think I botched it the first time, but think about it for a minute. If you have 100 people and only 10 of them are the quote unquote innovators in the company, you've got 90 people who are out there doing the work, who have opportunities for innovation in the jobs that they do, that are not doing it. And in fact, there's a side consequence, a negative consequence of it, which is it demoralizes people, because they're like, hey, that person over there is the innovator, but I'm not, like, what the heck? So siloing innovation, you get lack of buy-in too, because I'm over here as the one lone innovator. I bounce that idea back to you and you're over there ducking and weaving. You want nothing to do with the idea. You had nothing to do with it to begin with. You've got your own job to do. So siloing innovation has a lot of negative consequences. It demoralizes people. It creates a one-way tennis match where, you know, the ideas never go anywhere. Siloing is to me, just has never made sense of why people do it. The other part is, right, we silo it to not just people, but projects. So, well, this requires innovation, but this doesn't. Well, everything requires innovation if it's thinking differently about what's right in front of you to create an advantage. How you manage your schedule requires innovation. Believe me, it does for me. How you launch a product requires innovation. How you manage workflow in the virtual world, that requires innovation. It all requires innovative thinking. So select projects also sets it up to fail. So, and I a little bit alluded to this in select projects, but also it may not be working because it's treated as a point in time exercise or my favorite, fun art and craft brainstorm session. All right. If you can hear me laughing a little bit, I love a good brainstorm. Don't get me wrong. And I love scented markers and sticky notes, but those exercises need to have purpose. But there's a bigger thing I want to point out here. When innovation is relegated to a 1-hour brainstorm on Thursday at 2 p.m. with Lego and arts and crafts and, I don't know, you know, 1 hour that you're supposed to suddenly be wildly innovative when you've had your head down the whole time, it's no surprise it doesn't work. You got 39 other hours of the week that you basically had your head down, you weren't innovating. The best innovation happens when you're in it, in the thick of it, doing it. So when we relegate innovation to this kind of 1-hour brainstorm or, you know, this one strategic retreat a year, we are not tapping into all the other time where we're doing the work where innovation can happen. On top of that, here's the thing about being an innovator. So innovation in your brain, it's while your brain's not technically a muscle, in this way it acts like one. So either you can strengthen it or you can let it get weak. And if we're spending 99% of our time not innovating, that muscle in our brain is getting weak. And then suddenly we go into a brainstorm and we're expected to unleash it. And it doesn't happen because that muscle is weak. Then we think it's hard, exhausting. We're not innovators. When the reality is we're all everyday innovators. We just haven't been exercising that muscle. So the other thing I find, and this one might surprise you a little bit, is part of the reason why innovation efforts fails because it's all about creation, right? Wild ideas, forest of the trees, the fun part. And it's not about communication, which is the buy-in part. So I found that, and I think the reason why our method works is because it's, well, part of the reason why is because it's both. So we're all about how do you dial up innovation, generate more ideas, see things differently, but then also how do you get buy-in for your ideas? If you don't tackle the buy-in side, you lose momentum. Obviously, you lose buy-in from the key stakeholders. You miss massive opportunities to innovate, and you tend to demoralize people because then the no's and the naysayers bring you down because you prepare people or yourself to be wildly innovative, but then nobody's listening to you. Nobody's paying attention to what you're saying. So the real deal here is that innovation has two parts, two sides to the coin, creation and communication. The other thing I'd say, and this is I think these last two I'm going to cover are really big ones. One is there's this focus on process first innovation that actually overcomplicates and slows down innovation. And I'm looking at an image right now of just like a person looking at overly complicated gears, kind of not knowing where to start. Here's what I find. When we layer on innovation methods, again, whether that's design, agile, some other person's like method that's all about kind of process and to-dos, we end up with this really complicated process that people feel like is just another layer of initiative and process they have to follow to do their work. That tends to overcomplicate it and it tends to slow down innovation. It doesn't actually speed it up, it does the opposite. So we really want to think about if we're going to invest in being someone who ignites innovation in others, so whether you're a leader or you're a coach or a consultant, or if you're over there looking at a broader method, you want to think about one that actually integrates into the people's work. Again, this is why the Everyday Innovator method works, because we do it from the inside out, from the human side first, the person first, then we get to the process. And when we do that, by the time we get to the process, people are so bought in, they're innovating all the time. But process versus innovation, the outcome that I tend to see is that it complicates and it slows things down. So if you started with a process, you may want to take a second and think about how you can go back and go to the people. All right. And the last one I want to share, and this is the reason I saved this for last, is to me, this is one of the biggest ones out there and the biggest mistakes and the biggest reasons. And that is we try to implement a one-size-fits-all approach that doesn't work for a diverse group of people. You have a diversity to tap into in your team and in the clients that you serve. So even if you serve clients one-on-one, each one of those people is different. We all have different everyday innovator styles. I'm going to talk about that in a second. And so when we try to take one method to apply to all these diverse sets of people, it's like square peg, round hole. In fact, it's like a square peg, a triangular peg, an oblong peg, a peg that's a combination of a triangle and oblong, a star peg, and trying to put them all in a square hole. Or round hole. You get the point. I think I screwed up the analogy. So the one size fits all approach tends to not work because maybe Julie likes it and it works for her because it actually happens to match her, but then it doesn't for everybody else. And that's why our everyday innovator method works. It actually starts by tapping the power of the uniqueness and the value that each person brings and then recognizing that and using that as your springboard forward. One size fits all approach doesn't work. This is why people really struggle with it because it doesn't match how they innovate. In fact, half the time they don't even know how they innovate, which is another challenge. And we can solve that too. Don't you worry. But that one size, it doesn't work for your clients who are different and it doesn't work for teams. All right. I've covered a lot in the why it doesn't work. So now I want to flip it. I want to give you a solution. I want to give you a way to solve that. I want to give you a real innovation method to drive value, growth, and impact. Before I dig into this, I just want to let you know two things. So we had a great webinar. Actually, it was I called it a masterclass intro, 60 minutes online, about this exactly, because on July 12th, so what, a week from after this episode airs, we're starting our 3-week masterclass, our Everyday Innovators Masterclass, and then you get access to the academy. So let me back up for a second, tell you about the masterclass. There's three people that this is good for. This is good for organizational leaders who are looking to build a culture of innovation and lead their team and being a team of innovators in a way that actually works. So this is a great masterclass and certification for you. You get certified in our IQE method so that you can actually deliver it to your teams. If you are a coach, consultant, strategic advisor, speaker, this is a great 3-week masterclass for you because you're going to be able to deliver this innovation method that works to your clients and your teams, the people that you serve. So you're going to be able to drive revenue, differentiate yourself in the marketplace, and provide massive value. And then thirdly, if you're like, hey, Tamara, I'm not a leader, I'm not serving other people, I just want to be more innovative, we have a third track, which is a masterclass for that. And then all of those are 3 weeks. And then as I mentioned, as a bonus right now, what we're doing is we're then giving you access to our year-long Innovation Academy so that you get the ongoing tools, support, community that you need to really thrive. But if you're an organizational leader and you're like, I am looking to lead a team of innovators, and whether that team is people that report to you, your colleagues, your company, this is the masterclass for you. If you are a coach or consultant and you're like, I need this in my toolbox to deliver to my clients and to get clients, this is the tool for you. If you are an individual contributor, participant, you're like, I just am looking to be more innovative, absolutely, that track that I mentioned is for you. I'll put a link in the show notes. All of them are there. All right, now let's talk about this real innovation method that I keep alluding to. And that is the Everyday Innovators Method. And it's gonna help you avoid those pitfalls that we just talked about silo, about lacking a definition, about lack of buy-in, about demotivating, about initiative fatigue. So it's going to help you get over that. This is a fresh approach to innovation that works. And it works because it works in 4 steps. First, we unlock the innovative mind with our proprietary assessment, where we get people to recognize how they innovate. This turns them into the second step, which is being everyday innovators, so that they are dialing up the innovation. They recognize how they innovate. They understand how to play to their strengths, and they understand how they contribute. They do more innovation every single day. It's so, I wish I could like show you all the client testimonials and all the emails we get. It's so cool. If you work with teams, right? Imagine for a moment, the third step in here is you create a team of everyday innovators. So you go from individual to teams where people are tapping the power of the diversity of thinking. There's a recognition of how to bring out your best and then the best in the people around you. It's how you build respect, vulnerability, collaboration, all that leads to innovation. So now you're leading a team of daily innovators, of everyday innovators. Then the fourth step in it is that ongoing, because we want to avoid a launch and abandon, and that's giving you access to the tools and the resources to innovate daily. And oh, by the way, those tools are organized by everyday innovator style, so you can pull the ones that work for you and your team. So that's why this works. It starts with the mind. It's not outside in, it's inside out. That's why it's lasting. You understand how you innovate. You understand the value you bring to this world. You understand your innovation style that is unique to you. Oh, by the way, your brain is like your thumbprint. No two are alike. So imagine if you tap the power of that. But you go from that to being an everyday innovator, to having igniting innovation around you, having the teams of innovators, to the tools and the resources you need to keep putting it into action. It's kind of like getting fit. You don't decide to get fit, go to the gym one day, and then you're done. No, you access the gym or the running or whatever you do every single day. So that's how this method is built, but it's a people first, human first approach. And the very core of it, it's based on behavioral psychology, neuroscience, and 25 years of work and research. And I think that's the combination that adds the magic, because we're not just talking about process and initiatives. We're talking about the humans and the brain and how we work. And we pulled all of that, that behavioral psychology, neuroscience, and the years of work and research, we pulled that together to create what you've probably seen and what we're really known for, which is that innovation quotient edge, or the IQE. That's our proprietary research-based assessment that tells you your unique everyday innovator style. It's a combination of your top 2 power triggers, we all have them, and a presence of a dormant trigger. Not only do we all have it, but it's unique to us. So when you start the method with us, or when you're delivering this to your people as well, you start by taking this assessment and understanding your everyday innovator style, how you add value, how you perform at your peak. And then we even give you in the report that comes directly to you the exercises to unlock it every single day and to strengthen your innovative mind. But the point I want to make here is that your everyday innovator style is your greatest advantage in uncertain times. It's what helps you and the people that you serve perform at their peak, bring more innovative ideas and solutions to the table, solve sticky challenges, transform obstacles into opportunities, have a stronger, more valued voice, make the ability to pivot and adapt your strongest skill, which, as we talked about in the beginning, is so essential, and then lead strong through uncertainty and change. So our method starts with that. It starts with people recognizing how they innovate, human-centered innovation. Once we go from there, then we go to the tools and resources to support that and drive it every single day. Videos, downloads, live events, worksheets, all of it. And we want to do that because, like I said, like going to the gym, we got to exercise it daily. And here's the beauty of it. It gets easier and easier. So there was a study done with cigar rollers in Cuba. And what it found is that it took new people who were new to the job. It took them like 27 minutes and a lot of mistakes to roll a cigar. Then after about 3 months, it was like 13 minutes and a couple of mistakes. And then after, more months after that, it was 2 minutes and maybe one or two mistakes. Now, my numbers might be slightly off because I don't have the report in front of me, but you get the point. The point is it gets easier to innovate. When you look at people and you go, oh man, Tamara's so innovative. Yeah, but I'm not any more innovative than you. I just practice it daily. That's all. And that's what you can do too. And imagine for a second, let's say you're a coach or a strategic planner and you're working with clients and they got to push forward. They got new problems to solve. Imagine if you had an innovation tool to give them, a tool like this that helped them see how they're innovative so that's sustainable and then tools to actually solve those problems. That's what we're doing here. Just think if you're a team leader, if you're getting everybody on your team to recognize the power of innovation inside themselves and then come to the table with that every single day to do their jobs and to solve the problems that come up or seize the opportunities that are often hiding in plain sight. This is why the Everyday Innovator Method works and why I'm so passionate about and why I know that the clients across the globe have gotten so much value out of this. It's based on the neuroscience and the behavioral psychology and change management principles. In fact, I hate that phrase. We'll just call it change principles. And that's why we get real buy-in and real results. Here's the other thing. It's a framework that demystifies innovation. It makes it accessible, empowering, and doable for all us everyday innovators. This is not about trying to be like Elon Musk or J.K. Rowling. They're awesome innovators, but you and I innovate in our way and in our world. And often what kind of the people on the cover of Fast Company magazine, maybe this is me being insecure, but I'll just say it. Like, I can't do what they do. First of all, I can't meditate and drink 5 gallons of water every morning and write my journal for 50 minutes. Like, I got kids to get to school and work to get to and emails to answer. So I think having this framework, this everyday innovator framework, allows it to be accessible and doable for all of us in the work that we do. And you know what? I'll tell you, I was just telling someone this the other day. I have a lot of years of work in consumer packaged goods, so new product development, so launching products for, Procter & Gamble, General Mills, oh gosh, Sara Lee, or fill in the blank. I thought they would be my main clients when I switched from giving people products to giving people the power of innovation. Turns out they are my clients, but they're not my main clients. My main clients are people who are internal auditors, project managers, speakers, accounting people, business advisors. What else have I worked? Got libraries. I've worked in advanced manufacturing, right? It's everybody else. And like I said, a million innovators into the world. Like, that's my big goal, because all of us, when we do a little bit of innovation, we tap the power of compounding value, compounding innovation. So Everyday Innovators is a framework. It demystifies innovation. And this framework works at both the individual and the team level. That's the other thing I love about it. Because to me, all those processes and check marks and initiatives don't work because they don't tackle the individual. How do I innovate? How do I add value? How do I think differently? Because I'm freaking exhausted. I've got new problems to solve. I got to move forward. Or I have a vision, but I don't know how to get there. That's why frameworks like this, like mine, work. The other reason it works is, of course, we give you the tools and resources to apply to daily work, life, problems, opportunities, dealing with change. Like I said, I want you to understand how you innovate. I want you to be able to give that to other people. And then I want you to use it daily. You know, I didn't mention this before, and I should have, by the way. You can't just go onto my website and sign up for the masterclass. You actually have to have a conversation with me first. We like to make sure there's a fit before you spend some money. And it's not a huge chunk of money. I'm not asking you for $20,000, even though it's worth way more than that to you, to your business, or to your goals, for sure, to your bottom line. It's actually around $3,250. So I say that because before you spend money, I want to make sure that this is a fit. And I want to make sure that we get the right people in. I believe everybody can be an innovator, but you got to be in the right mindset of, yes, tomorrow I'm willing to look at a new framework. I really want this tool in my toolbox. I see the value and I got some questions for you. And that's great. So if you're thinking about moving on July 12th, the reason I'm telling you this now is you gotta go to the website and you gotta make schedule that discovery call now. Okay. So, and the last couple of reasons I want to share is the reason Everyday Innovators works, or the reason this method is so successful with people, is that it taps the power of diversity of thinking. Remember, we were talking about, you know, square peg, round hole, and kind of our triangle and a round hole. Well, as you can see, because we start with an assessment that has a myriad of different everyday innovator outputs that you could possibly be. So you could be a risk taker experiential like me. You could be a collaborative tweaker like Laura. You could be an imaginative futuristic like Mike, right? So because we are starting from that place of diversity of thinking, our tools, our resources, the way we approach things come from that place. So we're not trying to squeeze everybody into one size fits all. We have a framework that works and that can scale and taps the power of diversity of thinking. And that's part, I think, again, what clients will tell me they love so much. And the other thing I want to say is, you know, I talked about how there's two sides of the coin to innovation, creation and communication. Well, we spend a lot of time on both. We talk about creation, being more innovative, and then we talk a lot about getting people to sit up and listen to you. We talk about getting people to seek you out for ideas and how to communicate your ideas in a way that gets people on board for the journey and gets you to the next step. Like I said, I've been here myself very early on in my career. This was a big problem for me, is I had all the ideas and nobody was saying yes. So to me, creation and communication matter. So lastly, I would just say that, look, the proof is in the pudding. We've had tens of thousands of people across the globe that have used this method and used it successfully for themselves, for their teams. We've got, Anthony is his name. He runs a catering company and he has his entire team take the IQE and they do this method. And he has told me directly that he thinks that this is the reason they've been able to kind of pivot and weave and duck and move and whatever word you want to use as they move forward. And, you know, I've got another one, Chris, who's Arlisol, amazing, she does amazing strategic planning and visual strategy with her clients. And the IQE is a big part of her toolbox, a reason she gets hired and a reason she adds so much value, because she starts them with, all right, let's all get on the page of innovation. Let's unlock our innovation and let's tackle these challenges in a different way. I've got individuals across the globe who have benefited from it tremendously. So, okay. So that is all the reasons. So I've covered a lot in about 40 minutes here. Why innovation is such a sought after tool, why it is essential. I've talked about why maybe your innovation methods, approaches, efforts, initiatives aren't working. And I've given you a new method. So here's what I want you to think about. The biggest thing that's going to hold you back moving forward, the biggest thing is your old framework and your old habits. They're going to keep you from putting this tool in your toolbox. Inertia is your biggest enemy. Those framework and those habits do not serve you moving forward. So I'd like to ask you if you're willing to commit to a new way, to providing your clients and teams a new way, yourself a new way. If you are, I encourage you to go click on the link and schedule that discovery call, because you really have three choices right now. You can do nothing, inertia. You can go it alone. I think if you're listening to this podcast all the way through, you're really smart. So I have no doubt that you'll get there. It's just going to be longer and harder. Or You can join the Everyday Innovators community and put this tool in your toolbox in the way that works for you. So, wow, I said a lot in this podcast. I am starting to lose my voice. Can you hear it? Listen, I love innovation. I love unlocking innovation in people. One of the things that excites me the most is when I see that light bulb go off in people when they go, oh my God, I am an innovator. I am an everyday innovator. And I have room for innovation across everything that I do, big and small. I don't have to wait. I don't have to abdicate it to somebody else. I don't have to, you know, be this crazy out of the box, you know, only working cafes person. It actually applies to me. That is where real change and real results happen. The visual I'm having in my head right now is someone kind of leaping over a chasm versus kind of having to crawl down into the chasm and back up. That's what innovation does for you. All right. I hope to talk to you on the discovery call if it's a fit for you. With that, Tamara out.